My name is King. The speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at meetings needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it is like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using and are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. And with that, again, I can say I'm an addict and my name is King. And I'm blessed by my higher power not to have the desire to use today. So for that, I'm immensely grateful. And just for the record, I'd like to thank the convention committee for asking me to get up this darn early in the morning to come here to speak. They actually gave me two choices, and the initial choice I couldn't take because I had a prior engagement, and I just couldn't get here on Friday. So this was my... this was my acceptance, and this is my service. And trust me, this was some service for me because I really did not want to get out of bed. I'm just being honest. You know, the topic is what can I do? And when I first heard the topic, when the program committee had called me, my first thought was, I can't do nothing. You know, but in the text, it talks about how I got here, you know, what that was like. And I don't know, it's like telling my story all over again to some degree, you know, but I'll make this as brief as possible. I got here from New York City. And I got clean in a town called Albany, New York. And I don't think I was actually trying to get clean recovery-wise when I first got here. I don't think that was my mission. It really wasn't about not hurting anymore. More so than it was about, let me just get away and then see what happened. You know, I just wanted to get away from my lifestyle, what my life had resulted in by that time, and try something new. I had about 1 million dreams and aspirations that had all been failures up to that point. So anything that afforded me the opportunity to not be a failure for a minute was going to be better than where I came from. And it talks about doing 90 meetings in 90 days and getting a sponsor and getting a network and cultivating that network as we go through the process, you know, of being in, you know, where I got clean at, there were... newcomer meetings, and there were newcomer step meetings. So it was really cool for me, and I had this conversation with a brother who I got clean with 2 days ago, and he's still in New York, and we were talking about the fact that we would go to meetings, and there'd be three people who we call old-timers or predecessors, and 60 of us that had less than 90 days, you know, And we would cut up and talk like we knew what we was talking about. We had no experience. We had no strength. But we all had some hope because we all were sitting in that damn meeting. And it was 3 degrees outside in Albany, New York, and the snow was 30 inches deep. But we had walked to a meeting, you know. And walking to a meeting in Albany, New York, just for the record, is like, I don't know, 6 or 7 blocks from here in the snow in 3 degree weather. It was like going to COP, you know. Let me just make that clear. We would go to 3 or 4 meetings in a day, walking around in the freezing cold, just so we couldn't cop. I don't know about anybody else, but even when I was using them, I don't really remember doing that. Even though that's a part of the process, we all know, I just don't kind of remember doing that. So the recollection of knowing that that's what I actually had to do in order to start the process of getting clean, when I really started reading that chapter, brought up some memories, you know, some things of what I could share with other folks about where my life is now comparative to what can I do when I first got here. Because it is all together totally different. And when things get out of hand, I reflect back on those initial days because that is, as we talk about, gathering a foundation so that your house don't fall when things get kind of rough. You know, and as we all know, if it ain't rough, not so much that it ain't right, but if you don't go through some things and have some trials and tribulations, well, what are we doing here? You know, I never knew that I could overcome adversity and still not use. And it talks about it in that chapter, about finding out that for the next 5 minutes, I just want to stay clean. You know, it don't have to be the whole day. Let me just stay clean for now for the next 60 seconds. Can I do that? Well, when I first got here, I don't know about y'all, but I wasn't sure that could happen, you know. There was an epiphany when, that's my lady's word, so I wanted to use it just now. Yeah, there was a spiritual epiphany when at night I knew that I wanted to use. And I woke up the next day and I was taking a shower someplace and I hadn't used the night before. I don't know about y'all, but to me, that was a first sign of some type of spiritual intervention that we call a miracle. Because prior to that, this is 1993 when this is happening. I started using it in 1964. I had no knowledge that in any type of adversity that was an emotional trauma that said good, bad, or indifferent, ugly, bad, or good, I didn't use. Everything had a reason for using. All of a sudden, I got here around you people, you know, you know what I mean? Or people that I thought I was totally different than, you know, I was not going to be like you so-and-so's. That all of a sudden, y'all had instilled in me this thought process, this belief process that said that no matter what, I don't use. So, of course, let me go back to another meeting with these guys who I thought I ain't never wanted to be around and hang out with y'all for another 60 minutes, 90 minutes in hopes that y'all could give me some kind of more information about this thing that happens when I don't use. Because there was something happening inside that was, for lack of a better word, invigorating. There was a stretching of the insides of my belly that started to let me know that that I didn't have to do that anymore. So after 90 days, and, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but my first sponsor was just some dude who was somebody who reminded me of the streets, you know. I thought he was the guy, you know, who still had it. (Clears throat) very quickly, somewhere along the line, I got in touch with, I needed to do some step work. And I'm a scary, sensitive dude. You know, I've been angry all my life. But inside, I was a scary, sensitive dude. And I really wasn't about to tell somebody about kind of the stuff that I have been through in my life. Excuse me. And I thought that being around somebody like who I wanted to be like was going to allow their recovery to rub off on me. That's not how it works, you know. A sponsor is someone. Gee whiz, I just seen somebody I haven't seen in a while. A sponsor is someone who guides you through our steps and traditions. And this gentleman started to get me to do some things that sponsors are required to do and I say required because as a sponsor, there is a responsibility. He got me to do some things that I wasn't willing to do, but most of my life, because my mama didn't raise me to be an addict, I always dreamed about doing. I had no knowledge of how to do it. And this gentleman started to take me down a road that allowed me to realize some dreams, you know. And when I moved from Albany to Virginia in 1996, you know, I had been clean 6 years, and 3 weeks after I got here, the job and everything that I moved here for, I got fired for. And I found out another reason why I had another reason to use, and I just knew that was it. I got the reason, you know. You wonderful people did it again, you know. Y'all showed me that I didn't have to use in spite of this adversity that I was now facing. You know, being in a new state, 500 miles away from where I got clean at, I had no network. I had to start all over again. And again, I go back to that word, the foundation. You know, once you got it, you kind of know what to do. It's like riding a bike. You know what you got to do. Now the question is, are you willing to do it? You know, and so here I am, you know. 10 years later, in a new section of the country, finding out that we still do recover. So what can I do? I do the same things I did when I first got here. You know, I do for other people what people did for me. You know, I learned that it is not required that just because I sponsor somebody, do I need to ride them to a meeting. Because when I first got clean, people didn't ride me to a meeting. I met them at the meeting and then they moved me home. But it was my objective, my responsibility to get my ass to the meeting. You know, I learned how to pray, you know. Growing up as a Catholic, in a Catholic school, I had no knowledge and conception of what it is to pray. I had no knowledge of getting aligned with the Creator. I had no knowledge of what it takes to invite the Spirit into my life, you know. And I know that now. You know, I know what that feels like. I know how to open up and ask the God of my understanding, cool, exactly what I need. I guess, you know, I just was told I got 5 minutes left. There's a part of me that says I don't have 5 minutes of nothing to talk about. And that's what's so cool. You know, when I first got here, I couldn't crack a joke, you know. Mm-hmm. I thought that if I said anything that was funny, it was because you was going to be laughing at me. I didn't know that I actually had the ability to be funny. Don't tell me, what can I do? Let me just kind of bring this full circle, you know. Where I grew up at in Harlem, most guys don't live past 18, you know. I'm 55 years old, and I don't look it. See, I got another joke for y'all. What can I do? I can share. If there's anybody in this room who was over 40 and don't think you can stay clean, was over 30 who just got here yesterday, who was over 50 who don't think that we do recover, I'm here to tell you it's a lie. Okay? I've been clean 13 years and some change. I've been around the darn world since I've been clean. I have accomplished some things in life that I never thought I would do, except in my dreams, sitting on some bar stool or sitting in some basement dreaming about doing. I now do. I won't go into those things of what I do, but I will tell you that beyond my freaking wildest dreams is my life today. And I'm not just saying that in a spiritual sense. Let me be real clear about that. I think it's important that people know that we can become financially secure in Narcotics Anonymous. Fuck what you heard. You know. Don't get it twisted. We do recover. From way back to now. Last but not least, it's so really, really, really freaking cool to be a recovering addict. You know. Unfortunately, the other day I disclosed in my office that I was a recovering addict by accident. God continues to put me in places where I need to shoulder the responsibility of who we are. And I am so very grateful for that opportunity, because I never knew that I could be man enough to shoulder that type of opportunity. So I share with anyone that is here who has not been here or doesn't think that there's hope for people like me, people like you. Please don't use and keep coming back. And thanks for letting me share.
My name is Herbert Nomadic. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker. I think he said his name was Nick. So I give you Nick.
NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. An area where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there's a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. A basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be clear careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It's not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. My name is Nick, and I'm an addict. Amen. I'd like to thank God for the gift of life and the program of fellowship in Narcotics Anonymous. I'd like to thank the convention committee for asking me to come out and share, and I'd like to thank King for speaking before me. It is early, man, you know, and, you know, I've been trying to get myself on a routine of getting up early in the morning, and it just doesn't work. You know, I've been trying to set my alarm at 7 a.m. and try to have some time for myself in the morning just to sit down. And, you know, it just never works out. You know, I sleep through the alarm. You know, I think it's a miracle we made it here today. But it's good to be here, man, and it's good to be alive, you know. What can I do? The chapter begins... In the basic text, What Can I Do? Begins talking about rehab in an institution. If you're in an institution, you can begin this program by taking step one from our previous chapter. You know what, man? And I'm not breaking any traditions or endorsing. I was introduced to Narcotics Anonymous through H&I, through a rehab, through an institution. And that was my introduction to Narcotics Anonymous. That was my introduction to the steps. You know, and when I got out, the first thing that I got out, I was in there for 3 months, and I got out, and the first thing that I did when I got out was I used. And it wasn't necessarily because I felt like using it, because I was so terribly obsessed with using. It was that I wanted to get it over with. You know, it was like I felt like I had been dirty for the 3 months that I was in rehab, and I wanted to clean myself up using. You know, it was like I was saving something up, and I needed to get rid of it before it took me over. You know, I needed to use before this recovery thing took over. You know, I needed one more. It was like a contract that I was signing with my disease. And I didn't even use a drug that I particularly liked. I just needed to get it in my system so I didn't have this clean time anymore. You know? And I remember throwing it away, man, and like chasing, just trying to get rid of the clean time. You know, that's what I really, I got out and that feels better, man. I'm not clean anymore. You know? And afterwards, man, the shame, it all came right back. You know, all the feelings came right back. Everything that I went into there feeling with came right back. Because I didn't go in there wanting to quit everything. You know, I went in there wanting to clean up, wanting to get off this particular drug without having to go through any withdrawal, you know. You know, that's why I went to rehab. And what I was introduced to is Narcotics Anonymous. And when I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I started coming around, it was the same thing, man. I was here to get off of drugs. You know, I was here to stop using. And what I found was a program that can affect me in every area of my life because I have a disease that affects me in every area of my life. You know, and I came to understand that, like, the people in this program are beautiful people. You know, that we do things that go beyond any imagination that I had for myself or any expectations that I had for myself. And some days, man, it really, some days, like, look, I'm not in any sort of spot in my life where I'm perfect, or I'm not in any sort of spot in my life where, you know, I don't need this program anymore. My disease is still at me full, you know, it still comes to me in different areas. Like, it seems like every time I look around, there's a new area that I need to work on. There's a new area that the disease has taken over my life. You know, whether it's shopping, you know. I got to let you know, man, my newest triumph was not buying a new outfit to come to this convention with, you know. Was not just going out to the store and like, you know, buying new shoes, new pants, and a new shirt to come to the convention with. And it might be because I still got shit that I haven't worn that I bought, like, you know, a month ago or whatever. But that's my triumph today. You know, so I have different triumphs in my life. It might have been not using drugs in the beginning. It might have been, you know, not being so locked on a woman in the beginning, so obsessed about a woman in the beginning. But, like, today, man, it's shopping, and it gets sick. Like, I can be shopping to a point of sickness, to a point of disease, where, like I'm feeling, like physically ill, and I have a headache, and I have a fever, and I can hardly see, I can hardly talk, because it hurts when I talk in my head, and I go to my boss at work, I go, look, man, I don't feel good, I need to go home, man, and he goes, you're right, man, you look like shit, get out of here. And I leave the job, and I get in my car, and I drive 2 hours to upstate New York to the outlets to go shopping. On the phone, like, I can't talk, man. It hurts when I speak. You need to let me go, man. And it's 30 degrees outside, and I get out there, and I'm like, where's the store, man? I feel better. Where is it? Where's my money? You know, and I'm talking about the disease taking me in other areas. And, like, thinking that drugs are the only thing that's going to affect me. Like, I'm fooling myself if I'm telling myself that. You know, if I'm not allowing myself to grow in other areas, I'm holding myself back. I'm holding myself back from spiritual development. You know, there's a lot of areas in my life that I can critique. There's a lot of things that I can do to make myself a better human being. It's all a matter of what I want out of this program. And I used to think that we were all here for the same thing. And look, there's no issue with coming in here for different reasons. Because I used to be real, like controlling. You know, I used to think that everybody had to work this program the same way. You know, you can't, what the fuck are you doing? You can't do that. You know, and I'd get upset at people. I'd get mad at people, not letting them be where they were at, definitely not seeing where I was at. You know, and understanding that, like, we all get to build up our own morals and principles. You know, I'm not here to try to say what's moral and what's right and what's wrong. That's not my job to do. You know, that's what we come to our own understanding of. Look, I built up my own understanding of what's acceptable and what's unacceptable in my life, and I try to live by that. If you're down with that and a lot of the things on your moral list are on my moral list, then we can roll together. You know, because I found out that, like, behavior is contagious on a lot of days. You know, I got a friend who, he's, you know, he shops like fucking nuts, you know. And when I'm around him, like, I want to go shopping because he's always got a new pair of sneakers on. Every time I see him, he's got a new pair of sneakers on, like $300 pair of sneakers. You know, I mean, $200 pair of sneakers, and he's just, it's nuts. And I see the new sneakers, I'm like, shit, I need to get to the store. I need to keep up, you know? I'm falling behind. And I told him the other day, I said, look, man, we need to connect on a spiritual level, because this shopping thing just isn't cutting it anymore, you know? And behavior's contagious, man. You know, before I knew how to relate to anybody on a positive level, I'd relate to them on a negative level. You know, I'd find something negative, maybe about somebody else, and I'd relate to them on it. You know, oh, you use, I use too. Let's get, and that was the only way that I knew how to connect with somebody. It was easier. You know, so coming into Narcotics Anonymous was hard to connect with anybody because I didn't have that negativeness. You know, I didn't see it at first. I thought that NA was like a utopia, gorgeous place where everybody came and became perfect and everybody went back to their houses of religion and, you know, I had some misconceptions when I came in. I thought that the disease stopped at the door, you know, and the disease took a vacation when you were in a meeting, and he came back later when he left, you know, and it's not like that, man. Disease is always in the meeting, you know. Disease is sitting next to me in the meeting. It's sitting on my lap. It's trying to get in my pants. So I evaluate, man. The chapter talks about a lot, man. It talks about precautions that I can set myself up with. You know, and it talks a lot about sponsorship and God. You know, there's certain things that I set myself up with to prevent relapse, to prevent anything from happening in my life. And I was talking about behaviors contagious. They say don't go around people, places, and things. There's a reason, you know, because it starts to look appealing after a little while. You know, and there's reasons that, like, if I want to live by certain morals and principles, then I try to set myself around the same people who are trying to live by those morals and principles. Look, if you pick up prostitutes, power to you. I don't do it. And I'm not knocking it because that was a misconception that I had, that I thought that, like, we knock, you know, that if you're doing something that I don't think is right, then it's my choice to, look, man, that's not what it's about. You know, this is about a program of love. The only hit is if you're doing something that I really don't agree with, how am I really going to get with you on an intimate level? Because it starts to look appealing to me after a while. If you're cheating on your wife and beating your wife, well, those aren't the things that I want in my life. You know, and I try to get with people that have hope in areas, not just experience. Because I'll be looking for somebody with experience and, oh, this guy's got experience. Yeah, but the motherfucker hasn't gotten out of it. He's been in it for 2 years. You know, and talk to him about, like what I'm going through, and he's still going through. He can't help me. You know, and I can't help somebody else until I've gotten through to the other side, until I've figured out how to get out. That's like talking to a using addict about stopping using. You know? So, like, I need to find somebody with experience, strength, and hope if I want to get some in my life. You know, not just experience. Experience is good and dandy and everything, but it fucking ain't going to carry me. You know, it isn't going to bring my luggage anywhere. So, like, there's certain things that I set up in my life, man. There's certain principles. There's certain things that I look for in people, you know. People that are trying to achieve the same goals as I am. People that are trying to go the same way that I'm trying to go in life, you know. And it's hard, man. There's a lot of things that I just want to do. Look, man, my thing, right, I'm in school. And, like, some days I just wanted, you know, fuck this school, fuck this class, this fucking teacher, he did too much fucking homework. I can't take this shit anymore. You know, I'm at a community college. I live in Jersey. I go to Mercer County, you know, over in, like, Trenton and Hamilton. And, you know, fuck this. And I call this girl up looking for hope, right? I call her because she had the same class, right? So I'm NA, you know, she's in NA. She had the same class, same teacher. So I call her up looking for hope. You know, I think she's going to tell me, like, Nick, you know, you can't hang out with any friends while you take this class. You just got to buckle down and do the homework, because she got, like, a B-plus in the class. So I'm like, how the fuck did she get a B-plus in this class? And I call her up, and she goes, I'm like, how the hell did you get a B-plus in this class? She goes, I cheated. I'm like, motherfucker. You know, so... So, like, the hit is, man, is not basing what I'm doing off of what other people are doing. Because it's real easy to look at something in my life and say, well, that's not that bad.
You know, what I'm doing is that this guy's robbing a fucking bank and I'm cheating on a test. What's the big deal? You know, it's real easy, especially in Narcotics Anonymous, because there's, and I'm not saying there's not a lot of God in Narcotics Anonymous, but there's a lot of disease, and there's a lot of shit that I can get caught and trapped in, even outside of Narcotics Anonymous, and I can look at people and say, well, shit, man, what I'm doing isn't that bad. Going, doing a little bit of shopping isn't that bad, but like, I'm calling it out of work, and I'm going shopping on my lunch break, and I'm completely obsessing, and like while I'm going to sleep, I see sneakers, like, jumping over a fence, you know, I'm trying to be intimate with my partner, and all I can see is Gucci and Dolce and Gabbana and fucking like little signs all over the place, and like affecting me spiritually, you know, and financially. But there's I can limit myself and limit my growth. I don't want to limit my growth anymore. You know, I remember I was stealing time off my job, and I was thinking to myself, well, if he's picking up hookers and cheating on his wife. And he's, you know, shoplifting, and he's still using, you know, then what's the big deal about stealing time from my job? You know, what, I mean, is it really that big? You know, I'm only stealing like an hour here and there. This was maybe like a year or 2 years ago. And I had to get in touch with, man, that it's not you that I'm recovering for, it's me. And like the things that I'm trying to do in my life and the places that I'm trying to go, it's real easy for me to try to seek out sickness and try to match with sickness because it's comfortable sometimes. Sometimes it looks like it's comfortable. Sometimes I don't want to look at what God has in store for me, and I want to look for what the disease has in store for me. Sometimes I'm afraid to go into God's will. I'm afraid to look at and see what God has for me, man, because it doesn't always seem like it's going to work out. Sometimes I struggle with the second step and trusting in my higher power, but I need to understand that like God's will is my own true will for myself. And I see that when I turn my will over, and when I work a third step, my second step becomes stronger. And when I work a second step, my first step becomes stronger. And when I turn my will over on a consistent basis, I see that like all the time, the things that God has wanted for me in my life are the real things that I've wanted for me the whole time. And like all the shit that they said, you know, and it said that we'd be cheating ourselves if we made a list of the things that we wanted when we came to Narcotics Anonymous. But I made a list. And I said, this is what you, because they said, beyond your wildest dreams. And that's not a Narcotics Anonymous thing. That's a fellowship thing. But that's what they said. And I said, beyond my wildest, okay, well, let's see. My wildest dreams. I said, I'm living in a mansion. It's about the size of this convention center. I said, there's different themes in all these different rooms. You know, I'm going nuts with this, right? You know, fantasy was like a drug for me. I'd get high off of it because I was too lazy to go fucking do anything or live in reality. And I'd get high off of fantasizing. Yeah, I'm going to start my own business and be rich. 2 weeks later, I'm running for president. 2 weeks later, I'm going to, you know, I mean, all this shit that I have in my head that I'm going to do, but I never end up really taking any initiative to do because I'm scared of the results and I'm scared of failure. And since I'm so afraid of failing, I never try to succeed. Because if I don't do it my best, right, then I don't got to worry about when I don't look that good, and I can say, oh, you know, I didn't even try, you know, instead of giving my 100% and somebody saying, you didn't do good, and me feeling like shit, you know. And so, like, I got into this fantasy mode, and I said, I got different rooms, and I said, there's going to be all these different themes in these rooms, you know, this is going to be like a white lion room, you know, it's going to have like a, maybe like a lion in a cage or whatever, and there's going to be a couple of women in white in this room. And this room is going to be like a Greek room. And it's going to look like real Greek, and there's going to be a couple of Greek women in there. And this room is going to have this theme, and these women are going to be in this room. And this room is going to have this theme, and they just wait there. You know, just like the girlfriend that I thought was perfect. She stays in the room. She never comes out. She never talks to anybody. She stays hidden. She doesn't wear anything outside of the house. I'm the only person who gets to see her, interact with her, you know. And so, like, this is the fantasy that I'm having. They're all just waiting there for me to come and feed me grapes, right? And then instead of me going to work in the morning every day, the government's sending me a check in the mail once a month, as much money as I want. And so I'm working with this fantasy. I'm working for not, I don't even know if expectations, but my wildest dreams. You know, and I'm telling you that, like, this is what my will, this is the crazy shit that I thought I was going to get on my will, and when I turned over to God's will, I found that the things that he had in store for me were better. That, like, those many women, I'd shoot myself a long time ago with that many women. I can barely handle one. And so, like I understand that when there's one woman in my life, I get an opportunity to be more intimate with her. You know, that I'm glad that I only have one woman in my life. You know, look, I could, you know, if I wanted to, I could try to play that I got one in Philly and one in New York and one in North Jersey and one in South Jersey and, you know, my girlfriend, because my girlfriend isn't in N.A., you know, so for all I know, she might never know, you know. But I feel more comfortable and more intimate being in one relationship with one person. You know, I'm talking about beyond my wildest dreams. That, like, when I go to work in the morning and I come out at night and I get my paycheck, it doesn't matter how many fucking money is on the bill, I earned it. You know, and that feels good, man. It feels good to be productive in my life today. And the things that I'm doing by working God's will are turning out to be better than what I thought I had in store for myself. Because my disease robs me of dreams, man. And I fantasize. And I got caught in that for a while that, like, you know, and it was crazy, man, because I'd have, like, a new idea, like, every, you know, week and a half. I'd have some fucking new shit that I'm going to do. I'm going to design sneakers. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to run for president. I'm going to, I don't know, man, crazy shit that I'd pop out with that I would just fantasize and play with the idea and it would feel good and I'd rub it a little bit and then I'd go on to the next one, you know. And understanding that, like, when I work God's will, man, and let him guide my course. You know, let him write my book, you know, instead of me trying to tear some pages out and rewrite it, you know. Because I understand that when I go to God in prayer and I listen to him in meditation, he gives me the answers to my questions. You know, that a lot of the things just aren't okay in my spirit anymore, you know. That, like, God tells me through my spirit what's okay and what's not on a regular basis, you know. And I can tell, this doesn't feel right. This, you know. So I plug in, man. I plug into meetings. I plug into, you know, I plug into Narcotics Anonymous. I start writing all my steps. I start calling other meetings. I start other addicts. I start going to meetings. I start doing all the things that you tell me to do and do it in the name of Narcotics Anonymous. And do it like addictively. Chase Narcotics Anonymous addictively. And you know what, man, I don't think there's any other way when you're new but to chase Narcotics Anonymous addictively. That's for me, man. I don't know how anybody can come in here new and be like, yeah, man, I'm going to the meeting, but, I don't feel like hanging out. You know, I got to be at work early in the morning. I'll be honest. I get resentful sometimes. You know, like, what the fuck do you mean you got to be with your kids, bro? You got 30 days clean. Come out to the, you know, come hang out with the, you know. I'm like, you know, I'm sick, man. I want somebody to be a running partner with me. You know, and I'll still try to manipulate. And I don't say that. I joke around with people. But I chased Narcotics Anonymous addictively. And I learned that, like, it's not about how much I can do at Narcotics Anonymous, but how much I can do outside of Narcotics Anonymous. And then I was neglecting my life in the name of Narcotics Anonymous. And I was hiding out and going to as many meetings as I could in a day and doing as much step work as I could in a day and not taking part, not taking any responsibility for the things that I came to Narcotics Anonymous for. You know, that, like, I came here, and I'm not anywhere from going, I got a home group, I got a sponsor, I got sponsees that bring me hope, you know. And I see that a lot of times. I see that sometimes I feel like my sponsees are bringing more hope to me than I'm bringing to them. Because I'm open-minded, man. I don't believe in dictatorship. I'm not their fucking father, you know. I see some people sponsor people like they're their father. Like they're the sponsee's father. You're not going out with her. You're not going to the mall dressed like that. Who the fuck are you? You know? And I understand that, like, I can only match willingness. I can only do as much as they're coming to me with. You know, I'm not here to father anybody. I'm really not. I'm not here to try to tell anybody what to do. I'm here to live by example. You know, I'm here to give you my experience, strength, and hope and nothing else. You know, I'm not here to try to set any morals down. I'm not here to tell you how to, you know. That was another thing I got resentful about, too. There'd be a woman show for like 3 years. I came in here, and I used to wear like mini skirts and high boots, and now I don't, and you don't have to either. I'd be like, shut the fuck up. Shh. Stop. What are you doing that for? No, that's you. Stay on the other side of the room. Let her be sick for just a little bit more, man. And I got resentful about other people, and I was doing things in the name of Narcotics Anonymous. Check it out. I was doing things in the name of Narcotics Anonymous when really it was for my betterment. You know, stay away from the newcomer. Don't fuck the newcomer. Stop. Don't, you know, and I'd see a newcomer walk in, and there'd be like a guy, like she'd come through the door, and the guy would greet her at the door. And I'd be like, man, that's sick, man. You see that? She's just coming in, man. She's new, man. She hasn't even sat down. When really what I was thinking is, she hasn't even gotten a chance to get to me yet, man. Give her a chance. Give her a chance, man. She hasn't even gotten down here. She hasn't. She just walked in the door, man. I haven't even met her yet. And you're still, you got the last one. We need to go on a number system, you know? And I would get resentful, and I'd try to say things in the name of Narcotics Anonymous and in the spirit of Narcotics Anonymous when it really was coming from disease, and it was coming from ego, and it was coming from self-centeredness, and it was coming from me wanting to tell you what to do, and me getting high off and telling you what to do, and me trying to get you to live the way that I was living so that I didn't have to feel bad about it, because when there's other people around me who are doing the same dirty shit that I'm doing, then I don't have to look at it as much because I don't think that it's that bad. That's why sometimes I position myself around people who are doing things that are worse than me, so that the things that I'm doing don't seem like they're too bad. Come on. You know? And it's real easy for me to get caught up in, and I'm still telling you, man, it's real easy for me to rationalize and justify it and look at things like they're not that bad and look at things like they really, you know, shit, you know, I'm gambling. What's the big deal? I won. Fucking lay off, man. I know you're jealous, but stop, you know? And I understand that, like, I don't need to, you know, that it's God who's going to let me know. You know, it's God who's going to let me know in my spirit when I'm ready to go to Him. You know, and if I find myself faltering in prayer, if I find myself not feeling a connection there, then I need to evaluate where I'm at with my prayer. You know, am I reaching out to God? Because He's always reaching out to me. It's just a matter of where it's coming from. And if I'm drinking haterade and not paying attention and forcing judgment onto other people and not giving them an opportunity, then I might miss God's message through another addict or through another person. You know, I might miss God's message because I'll be the first one to hear somebody start sharing about religion in a meeting and be like, oh, this motherfucker has no idea what he's talking about, and shut down, you know, or have somebody break a tradition, like verbally, and not listen to anything that they're saying. You know, this guy's fucking drunk. We need to, you know, he needs to get off the bar and then come back. You know, addict and cross-addicted, and I'll shut down, you know? Not understanding that, like, look, man, he might not be so familiar with the traditions in Narcotics Anonymous. He might not have read the speaker statement, but God might be using him at that moment, and I'm being closed-minded to what he's got to say, you know? And if I'm closed-minded to anything that I think that is less than or not appropriate, and I'm not coming to it with an open mind and coming into it with love and coming to it with God, you know, if I'm not bringing to God, what am I bringing? You know, if I'm not bringing God with me, if I'm not bringing Narcotics Anonymous with me, what am I bringing? You know, am I bringing disease? Am I bringing self-centeredness? Am I bringing hate? Am I bringing lust? Am I bringing fear? You know? Or am I bringing some of the principles that I strive to achieve and I strive to live by? You know, I would have, without the step work that I had in my life, without, you know, the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, without working a thorough fourth step and working a sixth step and getting in touch with my defects and getting in touch with my shortcomings and the way that I behave and what's acceptable in my life and what's not acceptable in my life, I wouldn't be able to have the life that I have today. Without working an eighth step and getting some relief over some of the things that I've done and working a ninth step and going out and making some of the amends, you know, so that I can be a little bit freed up without working a 10th step and being able to stay vigilant in my process and look at the things that are going on in the here and now and evaluate and do a 4th step and do a 6th step and do a 7th step and do a 1st step in the here and now, you know, without an 11th step and looking for God's will and looking for how I can better work God's will, without a 12th step and reaching out to an addict and trying to remember where I came from and trying to remind myself of why I'm here and what I can do to be a better individual, I wouldn't be where I'm at today in my life. I wouldn't be where I'm now with the relationship that I have with my girlfriend, with the relationship that I have with God, with the relationship that I have with my family and my friends in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I had an issue, and I have insecurities in my life through the roof. You know, I'll be the guy that's in a room with, 3,000 people and feeling like he's by himself. You know, I'm feeling like he's alone and needs a hug, and then you'll come up and give me a hug, and I'll want you to leave me the fuck alone. You know, leave me the fuck alone. Can't you see I'm in pity mode? You know? And I get caught up in insecurities, man, and I had this insecurity, she's cheating on me. She's cheating on me. I know it. She's cheating on me. Because she can't be with anybody like me. So she must, there's some catch. I'm going to get it, but there's some catch. I'm going to just keep an extra eye peeled because something's fishy. And it was like a witch hunt for this guy who didn't exist. But I'm going to find him and I'm going to fucking tear him up. And I'm going to find out who she's cheating on me with. And I was so sure, man, and I was so insecure and so unsure of myself and so unprepared and so unable to deal and so feeling insufficient that I wasn't able to just love and be loved. Because I wasn't used to unconditional love still. Not used to unconditional love and not understanding how somebody can give it to me. You mean it didn't make... Understand it, man. Unconditional love. You loving me no matter where I'm at in my life or what I do to you. You know? And so I'm waiting for a reason to, jump down her throat. You know, I'm, walking around, looking, who's going to say hi to her. I don't want to stand too close. If anybody thinks that we're dating, I want somebody to think that we're friends and not in the relationships to see if any guys will hit on her. You know, all this sick shit, whatever. And so I go to her house one day. And she goes, I walk in, she goes, oh, you left your boxers here. I said, what boxers? She goes, your Tommy Hilfiger boxers. Shut the door. I don't have any Tommy Hilfiger boxers. We got an issue, you know? And so I start going off at her. Whose fucking boxers are they? Who are you fucking? Who did you have up here? Don't talk to me. Don't sit next to me. Don't get away from me. Go away. Go do something else. Don't, going off, man. I'm talking all the things that I thought, I'm talking about totally believing a lie, you know? Whose box, and I hadn't seen the boxers yet. They were in the wash downstairs, a couple of floors down. And finally she goes, you know what? Fuck this. We're going down. We're going to see those boxers. And I'm like, fine, man. I can't wait to see these boxers. I'm fucking ready, man. And we go down and she opens up the thing and she's digging through the laundry a little. And, she doesn't care. She's like, whatever. You know, you're fucking boxers. I know. You just look like a retard. What you're doing, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, you don't know. I'm a fucking, this is done. I'm leaving once those aren't my boxers. I'm going to go upstairs and grab my keys and I'm leaving. And she opens up the wash and she pulls out the boxers and she goes, are these yours? And I go, I love you. Insecurities, man. Insecurities. I look at the people, I look at the people that are presented in her life and get jealous. She got this guy. She got a motherfucking L.A. Laker. Some guy that plays for the L.A. Lakers. That's fucking sending her text messages. Fuck this motherfucker. I'm going to L.A. Who's with me? You know? I'm going to find him. I'm a him and Kobe. I'm taking them both. You know? And, she's got this guy. She's telling me, fucking Bruce or whatever came. Bruce called. He's going to Harvard, and he just went to Wall Street. He got a job. Isn't that great? I'm thinking, fuck Bruce. He can suck. Screw him, and getting insecure about other people, what the fuck do I have to offer? But I got a lot to offer, apparently. Apparently there's something inside of me that the L.A. Laker doesn't have and that the guy on Wall Street doesn't have. And I'd like to think, because we tried this relationship when I was using and it didn't work out, and I'd like to think that the things that I have that are attractive in my life today are a direct result of Narcotics Anonymous and the steps that I've taken in Narcotics Anonymous and the things that I've taken to grow in Narcotics Anonymous and the step work that I've done, the people that have been presented in my life and the love that I've received and given through Narcotics Anonymous. Because I don't see any other reason, that I could ever feel so spiritually blessed and spiritually touched. There's things that I do, man. There's things that I do to make sure my spirit stays equipped. You know, to make sure I stay spiritually aware and spiritually ready and make sure that I'm prepared to deal with whatever might come down. Look, some days, I'll be honest with you, some days if I'm not God-centered, I'm waiting for drama. And when some comes, I don't feel worse, I feel better. You know, because I'm feeding into it. I understand, man, that like what might feel good, that like, you know, I get so caught up in instant gratification and so caught up in trying to chase that high feeling and trying to chase feeling better about myself and trying to feel so high, and that like what I was really looking for the whole time I found in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, what I was really looking for came through sponsorship and came through step work and came through the relationships that I've developed in here and the things that I've done on my job. The relationship that I, look, my boss says that he's like, you know, I'm like a son to him. Some days I want to tear his throat out, but you know, he says, Nick, you're like a son to me, you know. That means a lot to me, you know. Yeah, you know, I tried to get a car out of him, you know. You know, if I'm so, you know, but... But you know what, man, that means a fucking lot to me. That means a lot to me that he would say that to me, that he would take the time out of his day to compliment me and pull me aside and say something nice to me, you know, because sometimes, like, I need somebody else to compliment me for me to compliment myself, you know. But enough of that after the beginning, man, you start to understand and we start to learn that, like, that we're worthy. You know, that all this time I'm feeling unworthy and inadequate and insecure and having a low self-esteem about what was going on in my life and that I couldn't match up and I was never good enough. And even if I got second place, I fucking hated the person in first place and I wanted to kill him and slaughter him. And getting jealous at anybody who was better than me and not trying to succeed, not trying to do the things that I really wanted to do my whole life, not giving 100%, because if I gave 70, I only had to look like I was doing 70, you know. And I had an excuse ready if I failed, you know. And I didn't have to put all my effort forward and worry about tossing all my chips in and losing them, you know. And that's what I thought it was. I thought I was tossing all my chips in, but really what I was doing is I was preventing myself from any growth, and I was preventing myself from anything that God had in store for me the whole time by not giving 100%, not doing everything that I could do, and not putting in the effort and putting in the footwork and doing what I needed to do, and like understanding that like if I have fantasies and we have dreams in Narcotics Anonymous, there's no reason we can't achieve those dreams. But I got to start with baby steps, and I got to work little goals to get up to the big goals. You know, and there's certain things that I need to do in my life, and it all starts with God, and it all starts with step work, and it all starts to making sure that my program is lined in Narcotics Anonymous, and making sure that the things that I'm doing in Narcotics Anonymous are set up and in line before I go outside into the real world and go outside to my job or to my education and to my relationships and try to get them in line without having Narcotics Anonymous in line. So look, they gave me the 5 minutes 5 minutes ago. I'm going to shut it down. Thanks for letting me share.
My name is Herbert, and I'm an addict. Let's give both speakers another round of applause.